And here's John. Give him one more really big welcome.
Mission Vineyard. Hi. It's been a while. I send greetings from followers of Jesus in Germany and Austria and Italy. I don't know if we talked to any in Switzerland or Liechtenstein. Definitely not France. It's just because we were just not barely there. And Maine, my dad is an immigrant. He came to the United States in 1972, and all of his family is there. And my sister-in-law is an expat in Munich, and she invited us there. And so we just got to stay with them and visit with them, which was great. And my sister got married. It's just been a very exciting month for us. But it's so good to be back. It's so good to be back. And I'm excited for what God might be up to this morning. He has been preaching to me a lot while I've been away, and I thought that they were sermons for you, and so I was trying to write them down, and he said, no, they're just for you. And I thought, oh, because they're awesome sermons. So this one, maybe not so good, but we'll see. He did, I believe, as much as I can hear imperfectly, I do think that he wants us to look at Isaiah 54 today. I'm not sure what that's all about. I have some leaning, but I do believe that there's one thing, if you remember anything from today, it's an announcement to you. It's Mission Vineyard. Look for God's blessing. Look out for God's blessing. I give you permission. In a world that may feel dark, in a place where maybe you've had the rug pulled out from under you, look for God's blessing, because he's announcing it over you today. I want to pray before I get started, but before I do, I felt like there was one more risk that God's asking me to do this morning, and that's for this announcement this morning. If you can picture it in your mind and just kind of collect it in your heart for this morning, there's somebody in your life that also needs to hear it that's not here today. And before I pray this morning, I feel like God wants us to pray for that person. I heard some friends, there were some murders that have happened in Houston recently, and there's some connection here in the church. We've lost a friend in the church over the last month, Bob Rodriguez. There's been some death. And so there are people that are definitely mourning. It could be one of those people. It could be someone that just, you know, just continually kind of lives in a place of expecting the worst. So whoever that is, would you just allow God to seat that person in your heart, their name? You're not going to say it out loud, don't worry. And I'm just going to pray, okay? So, Lord Jesus, as we sit in this place, as we want more of who you are to speak to us, that we can be expecting your blessing or looking for your blessing, we just pray for that person, God, in our lives that we know needs to hear that today. And, oh, God, if they were sitting next to us this morning, maybe that's what you're up to. I don't know. But would you today speak your blessing over them? Would you draw them to yourself? And would you use us to do that? And would you speak clearly through me today, God, that we can receive your living word? I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. So Isaiah 54, it's an interesting passage. The book of Isaiah is written, it's prophetic literature, which means that we don't really know how to handle it. We handle it in 10 different ways. We handle it as an announcement to the people of Israel. We handle it as maybe this is for the future. Maybe it's for our future. Maybe it's for the future of the Israelites. Maybe it's just poetic literature. We don't know. But in this passage in Isaiah 54, for us today, I think we can take it, because it's talking about the Messiah. It's talking about an announcement of the kingdom of God, the rule and reign of God in a dynamic way that surpasses not just the time for Israel, but our time today. We get to receive it. Now, the sermon series that we're in is called Life with Jesus. It just so happens that Jesus thinks the same thing. And he seems to say that in John 6, and so we'll look at that as well. But we're going to read through the whole chapter of Isaiah 54. And we're going to be able to receive it in a way, maybe poetically, but for us today, in a way that says something's going to be different for you. Because God is asking us to look out for blessing. So let's read through Isaiah 54. So you know, again, it's not just for us. It's for Israel. And I'm just going to call Israel today Miss Jerusalem. Miss Jerusalem has had a hard time. Miss Jerusalem has been taken out of slavery. Miss Jerusalem was in slavery. Again, this is the people of Israel. Miss Jerusalem was in slavery, was taken out of slavery, has been put back in slavery, has had a hard time, has had a hard time trusting God through the journey, and isn't really expecting much in the future. Does that speak to anybody else here? Isaiah 54. Sing, O childless woman, you who have never given birth. Break into loud and joyful song, O Jerusalem, you who have never been in labor. For the desolate woman now has more children than the woman who lives with her husband, says the Lord. Are you seeing the drama? The woman that has no child, and yet there's another woman sleeping with her husband, and they have children? This is real. This is better than Facebook drama. Enlarge your house, build an addition, spread out your home, spare no expense, for you will soon be bursting at the seams, you descendants. Your descendants will occupy other nations and resettle the ruined cities. Fear not, you will no longer live in shame. Someone needed to hear that this morning. Fear not, you will no longer live in shame. Don't be afraid. There's no more disgrace for you. You will no longer remember the shame of your youth and the sorrows of widowhood, for your Creator will be your husband. The Lord of heaven's armies is his name. He is your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of all the earth. For the Lord has called you back from your grief. Come on, people. Those who have been grieving, those who have been expecting for the other shoe to drop, hear the words of God this morning. He has called you back from your grief as though you were a young wife abandoned by her husband. Some of you know this very personal story yourself. And for those of you who don't, you have friends that have gone through this situation. There are those here that have been divorced or have walked with friends through divorce or through losing a husband or a wife to death. And if you haven't, oh boy, God has a lot to bring into your life through walking with these people. Look what God says. He's called you back. He's called you back. For a brief moment, I abandoned you, but with great compassion, I will take you back. In a burst of anger, I turned my face away for a little while, but with everlasting love, I will have compassion on you. Can we address this for just a moment? These are hard words. John, the Bible just told me that I was abandoned. John, the Bible just told me that God turned my face from me for a little while. If you haven't felt that in your life, this is part of the faith journey. Getting to know God and also getting to know that time and space where you feel like, where did you go? Jerusalem has definitely felt that. Miss Jerusalem, Israel, they have definitely felt this place of, you turned your back on us. And can I tell you, God did turn his back on them. We live in a fallen world where Adam and Eve decided we don't need you, God. And so from that time on, we have lived in a world that has been ruled and reigned by Satan. A place of destruction, of self-destruction, where we're led astray all the time into places where God does not go, except when we say, God. This was the story of Miss Jerusalem, that every time they turned their back on God and God said, fine, I will let you have your own way. Over and over and over and over and over and over again, they said, oh, Lord. And Lord went, yes, I'm here. And he never stopped. Can I tell you, there's a story actually in the time of Moses when there was a bit of a retribution. There was somebody that said, hey, let's get a prophet to call on God to curse the Israelites. And the guy tried. He stood on a mountain and said, and he tried to curse Israel, and God wouldn't let him. He could only announce blessing. This is our God that doesn't owe us a thing. We turned our back on him. And times we are abandoned to our own mess. And then we cry out. And so the prophet says, "For a brief moment I abandoned you." This is quoting the Lord. He's speaking for the Lord. "But with great compassion I will take you back. In a burst of anger I turned my face away for a little while. But with everlasting love I will have compassion on you." Says the Lord, your Redeemer, the one who makes everything right. "Just as I swore in the time of Noah that I will never again let the flood cover the earth, so now I swear that I will never again be angry and punish you. For the mountains may move and the hills may disappear, but even then my faithful love for you will remain." Do you hear the announcement of the consistency and constancy of God's love? This is for us. Look for the blessing of this mission vineyard. "My covenant of blessing will never be broken, says the Lord who has mercy on you. O storm-battered city, troubled and desolate, I will rebuild you with precious jewels and make your foundations from lapis lazuli. I will make your towers of sparkling rubies, your gates of shining gems, your walls of precious stones. I will teach all of your children. They will enjoy great peace. You will be secure under a government that is just and fair. And if you would there see Jesus, the kingdom of God, the government that is just and fair. Your enemies will stay far away. You will live in peace, and terror will not come near. If any nation comes to fight you, it's not because I sent them. Whoever attacks you will go down in defeat. I have created the blacksmith that fans the coals beneath the forge and makes the weapons of destruction. I have created the armies that destroy. But in that coming day, no weapon turned against you will succeed. I know some of your stories. I know you have been thrashed across the rocks and your foundations have been destroyed. I know you've had reason to mourn. I know you've had injustice against you. Personally, racially, I know that you have felt this pain. Let me announce over to you, in this coming day, in the rule and reign since Jesus has died on the cross and has put sin and death under his authority and said, no more. Today, I announce to you that blessing can come upon you. Blessing is announced to you. A new government, the kingdom of God, ruling and reigning in those places of desolation where new foundations can be established. You will live in peace, and every day, no weapon turned against you will succeed. You will silence every voice raised up to accuse you. These benefits are enjoyed by the servants of their Lord. Their vindication will come from me. I, the Lord, has spoken. He said, but John, sometimes I get hurt. Yes. And this is the already and not yet of the kingdom that we live in tension with. That Satan's stronghold has been destroyed. And Jesus has died on the cross, releasing the Holy Spirit and the kingdom of God in his own personhood. Where Jesus is, there is the kingdom, ruling and reigning, raising the dead, healing people, bringing justice where there's injustice. That's where we live, embracing Jesus in the midst of a fallen world. And we wait until the day where Jesus puts this all under his feet completely. But because Jesus died on the cross, because he's risen from the dead, I get to announce to you that blessing today is upon you. Because Jesus is alive today for you. Jesus seemed to think the same thing. And I think he knew, and I think the prophet knew, and I think we need to, for just a moment, recognize how easy it is for all of us not to lean in the direction of Jesus when suffering comes. There was a story about a person who kept getting stuck in the mud. They had a normal vehicle, front-wheel drive, rear-wheel drive, I don't know. But they decided to get a Jeep because a Jeep would solve their problems. Now, I have known personally, living in the Northeast, in the ice and snow, that just because you have a Jeep does not mean you are safe. I have slid right through a four-way intersection in a big, heavy Jeep, and that big, heavy Jeep will not help you. In fact, its weight will cause you to drift even more if you're not careful. So the person bought a Jeep, they hit the mud again, and wouldn't you know it, they got stuck. And so they said, I don't know why I bought a Jeep. I can't get through. And they were talking to a friend and said, I got a Jeep. Why am I keep getting stuck in the mud? And the person said, did you know about this other gear? And the person said, no, I didn't know about the other gear. And they said, well, use that gear. And wouldn't you know it, they got out of the mud. And ain't that America? All you need is another gear to get stuck out of the mud. Get out of the mud. It is so easy for us to just think that the next thing that we buy, the next thing that we get, will get us out of the mud. Will get us through our conditions. Will save us from all the turmoil of the past. I think it's far easier to believe that, especially when something's been stolen from us. When someone has sinned against us, when we have felt the turmoil of the world weighted upon us, that we received injustice. Well, if only I could get that person back. Someone here, it's too common to say that the Lord is telling me this, but somebody in this room has a boss that is just making hell in your life. And you can't get a way through. If only that boss would go away. I just need another gear in the Jeep. Get out of the mud. If only. Or if only that person didn't do something to me in my past. Then I'd be okay. And instead of relying upon the salvation of God, which is the only thing that saves against a corrupt generation, against a world that's been spinning by the devil's power, the only thing that saved is not fourth gear in a Jeep. Is not getting the person back. It is only Jesus. Jesus is the only one that can bring back that which we have lost in the whole and healing way that it needs to come. Even if I got something back that was stolen from me, it will not recover me from the pain of that loss. And Jesus knew that. And so here he is. In John 6:35. He says, all you need is a fourth gear. No, he doesn't. He says, I am the bread of life. I am everything that you've ever needed, no matter what state you're in. I am the sustenance for your life, no matter what you've been through. I am that thing that will feed you in whatever condition you're in. Anyone who comes to me will never be hungry, even if their boss is creating hell in their life. Anyone who comes to me will never be thirsty, even if there are racial injustices keeping them down. But I told you, Jesus continued, that you have indeed seen me, and yet you still don't believe. You still think that all you need is to get that person back, or all you need is something else in your life to be happy. And Jesus announces, and I'm announcing to you, all that the Father gives to Jesus will come to us. All that the Father gives to him will come to him, and us in Jesus makes everything right. He is the bread. Jesus has come down from heaven not to do his own will, but to do the will of one who sent him, which is to restore a relationship back with us that we were always supposed to have, where we always lean on him for everything that we've ever needed. Adam and Eve were never meant to live alone. They were never meant to say, I think I can do a better God. They were never meant to say, well, I think God's holding something back from me. I don't trust him. We were meant to abandon our life to Jesus. And he continues, he says, "This is the will of the one who sent me, that I should lose nothing out of everything that he has given me, but that I should raise up on the last day. This is the will of my Father, you see, that all who see the Son and believe in him should have eternal life." That life that we were always meant to have. That life when we can lean on Jesus for all that we need and we don't have to be angry at anyone. There's a sign. There's a couple of signs. If you... Let's see if I can judge myself while judging you. If you have raised your voice at someone and it wasn't an emergency, it's possible that you need the bread of Jesus. It's possible that you looked at that person and wanted something back from them that only Jesus could give you. If you have been holding unforgiveness against somebody for a long time and blaming them for your current situation, it's possible that Jesus has something to offer you today. The bread that never lets you go hungry, never lets you get thirsty. If you can't go on Facebook or Twitter without lighting somebody up with some accusation, it's possible that Jesus wants to give you something that will feed you and give you what you actually need, so you don't have to try to get back from some imaginary person on Facebook or Twitter what you really need. If you drive on San Antonio roads angry at everyone, there may be something that Jesus has to offer you today. This is his promise for us. This is his desire. We hear him saying, anybody who has seen and believes in me will have eternal life. This is real now today. Eternal life just doesn't start when we die. Eternal life is the life that we have always, we were always supposed to have with God. And it begins today. We can have life with Jesus right now. And so then Jesus quotes Isaiah 54. He says, "It's written in the prophets, they shall all be taught by God. Everyone who listens and learns in the presence of the Father comes to me." Another way that Isaiah quotes it is, "All your children will be Yahweh's disciples. Great will be your children's well-being." So here's the promise. We can look for blessing, and Jesus is ready to give it, but we have to be taught by him. We have to go to him with everything. And here's a stupid example. It's a really bad example because it's so lighthearted. I don't think that, I have a hard time believing that God will actually want to give me rest. And so we went away for a long time and I went into it believing that everything would go wrong. Down to believing that my snoring would ruin the whole vacation. And we had a wonderful small group time where someone prayed for me and I really believe that God healed me of snoring. You can ask my wife if it really worked. We were able to rest. But God led me into a place where everything went wrong on the trip. He said, "John, watch what I can do." But it began with, if you want to, you can go inside and try to look for a fourth gear to try to get out of this mess, or you could just rely on me. Do you want what I have to give you? "Yes, Lord, I want what you have to give me." "Then just stay in me and watch what I do." One problem in my life that I'm trying to deal with is to ruthlessly eliminate hurry from my life. Hurry for me is that place in my life where I don't believe God can work. If I hurry, everything will be okay. If I go 65 on the highway, who knows what might happen. I need to go faster. But allowing Jesus to teach me that he's the bread that really satisfies, he's the thing that really makes everything okay, he's the one that I get to sit in the midst of my own anxieties, he's the one that I get to sit in the midst of any accusations coming against me, he's the one that I get to sit in the midst of a world that's falling apart. It's so much easier to believe that the past experiences that we've had, all the sins that we've committed, might define our future, but that's not life with Jesus. Life with Jesus is where we get to look for his blessing, where he gives us the bread of life right now, today, and it changes everything. And so, for some of you who have been so locked in a place of believing that your past, any past mistakes, are defining this future reality for you, that you can't get away from worrying about what might have happened. I was talking with a friend that was divorced, and they said, I can't go back to God. I've broken his law. As if God's intimidated by your divorce. He's not. God's not intimidated by any of the experiences that you've had. He's offering to you, wherever you're coming from today, the bread of life. Everyone here, Jesus is offering himself to you, no matter where you've come from, no matter what people have done to you. You are not ruined in Jesus. You are not broken in Jesus, because the only thing that matters is him. He's coming to you, those who are stuck in that Jeep, ready to, oh, I'm just going to find that gear in my life. I'm just going to do life better. And he's going, would you just give me the keys? Come out with me. I want to show you my eternal life. It's not striving in your own power. It's receiving from me in a way that actually gives you life. Everyone is welcome to God's mercy. Eternal life means sharing the life of Jesus. Anyone who believes in him can enjoy new life that God always planned to give to us. He wants to give it today. And so specifically, I believe that there's somebody here, and you know that you've been missing something. In fact, you may be actually really good at doing life. You may have a really good job and really good relationship, and there's still something missing in your life, and you know it. Are you willing to pray today? Here's my question. Are you willing to pray today, God, would you fill that hole in my life? Would you, I acknowledge that there's a place in my life that I can't do it on my own. I need your blessing. I trust you to give me blessing. God would love for you to abandon yourself to him in a way where he gets to provide everything that you need.